It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the Gospel of John, Book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Chapter 5. So please open your Bibles to John Chapter 5. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope now that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. The Gospel of John, John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, of halt, of withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. And he took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. And then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards Jesus found him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now after we've read the precious word. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and enjoy this time. I just ask, Father, that you'll touch every heart, those that know you as their Savior, that they'll grow. And those that don't, that are lost, oh, my friend, it's so important that they come to Jesus today and be saved and begin true life. They may have lived just a few years upon this earth, and they may have lived many years, but when they have lived it without you, dear Lord, without you it is impossible. There's nothing of peace. There's nothing of joy. You work and work and work trying to satisfy, and there's nothing that satisfies. And, dear Jesus, it's because you are the way, truth, and life. And so please, that we trust in you today, dear Lord, for salvation. Come to the cross of Calvary. That's where you died and took our sins away. And Father, please, that we be saved and then we grow, begin that wonderful walk. So please, touch the hearts of the lost, that they'll be saved today, and lead those that are saved, that they'll enjoy this word today and grow. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a scripture verse here. It says, After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Step by step, as we walk through the life of the Lord Jesus during his 3 years of ministry that we have recorded in his word. Every step, every part had an important part, an important step, and you know, each one of those, there wasn't a step that he didn't show mercy and grace. It didn't matter the color, it doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. It doesn't matter your social position in society. It doesn't matter what country you're from, what color you are. It doesn't matter. Jesus saves, and Jesus grows you and strengthens you. Once you come by faith to Jesus, he comes into your heart to save you, and then he saves you, and he stays, and he teaches you his precious word and his precious way. And so you see, after this, and you know, we have several things before. After these things, you know, we have the Nicodemus, so that wonderful story in chapter 3 about Nicodemus and how that went about. Come by night to talk to Jesus, just to learn a little bit more, because you see, he was religious, but he was lost. Then we had the Samaritan woman that had lived quite a life, and according to the world, and Jesus come by the well, Jacob's well, to meet this Samaritan woman, and she was saved. Then they came out and decided that he would stay, and he stayed in the Samaritan with the Samaritans there, and a great revival broke out. It was a wonderful work that happened there in Samaria. And then we have the healing of the nobleman's son. We have that beautiful message that we've had in the previous chapter. And now we've come, and after this, we find the Feast of the Jews. And we're not sure what feast this is, because there were three feasts that they were to go, required to go to Jerusalem to attend. And Jesus, of course, fulfilled the law completely. And so by fulfilling the law in its fullest, Jesus would have been there if it was one of those feasts, and I believe it was. And so whatever feast that it was, he attended. He was there. He was in Jerusalem. And I believe that the reason it records this the sheep market is in the temple. We have surrounding not only the temple, but also the city of Jerusalem, a wall. And that wall held many, had many gates. Each gate had a name. And this one was the sheep market. Well, right just close to this sheep market was a sheep gate. It's where they brought all the livestock through and brought them into the sheep market. And there were several purposes of this sheep market, just to buy and sell to begin with, but also it was a perfect place for a person that had traveled a distance to come to this feast and didn't want to burden themselves or bring an animal from home, or maybe they lived in a city, didn't have an animal to bring, a lamb to bring, and so they knew that all they had to do was come by this sheep market and they could stop and purchase a lamb and then bring it in for their offering and for their sacrifice. We know that Jesus cleaned out the money changers around the temple. And so we have several places where you can purchase these animals, but the basic place was right here. And so you would come through the sheep gate to the sheep market, and hopefully you would buy the finest lamb that you could find and spend the most money that you could, because it was of necessity that it would be perfect. Most people didn't, but that's what you were supposed to do, because we come to honor and to praise and to glorify our God. So we find here, as we go step by step, he is in Jerusalem now. After this, after the things we've talked about, he is in Jerusalem. We don't know which feast it was, Pentecost or the Passover or one of the others. Those are the most familiar. We believe probably it was Pentecost, but we don't know. And at those feasts, they're to bring an offering. And so now there was at Jerusalem, verse 2, by the sheep market, so you get sheep gate, come in by the sheep market, there was a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And so this Bethesda, the meaning of that word is house of pity or house of mercy. And so so many people would travel as they would come to Jerusalem through the sheep gate to the sheep market on to the temple, on to the raise an altar to bring their offering and sacrifice unto the Lord. And so many people, multitudes of people would pass by. And here was this place called Bethesda, having five porches, the scripture tells us. So all these times that we passed by this place, do you ever wonder if any time someone looked over and saw what we have in verse 3, this great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water? Did they kind of shun to the other side? Did they kind of move to the other side so they didn't have to see these folks that were sick, that were blind, withered? Do you think they looked upon them and thought, boy, them awful people, I wonder what kind of terrible sin they committed as they led their lamb to the slaughter and showing a picture of Jesus as he went to the cross, as they would bring their offering and their sacrifice to the temple in their holy, righteous manner? Did they kind of put their nose up and walk right by, walk by quickly so they didn't have to see them? I'm afraid that so much of the time that's the kind of church goer that we are. We are so religious, and yet we're so worthless when it comes to what God actually wants. What did I say at the beginning of this study? Every step of Jesus' earthly ministry, those 3.5 years, was filled with mercy and with grace. Our walk as a believer in Jesus Christ should be full of mercy and grace. We should show mercy to all those that have need, whether it's those that are sick physically, or, and most definitely, those that are spiritually sick that need the Lord Jesus. But these folks traveled by and went on with their lamb. And we have this pool, and we're not told how many people are there, but it says a great multitude. We're not told how many, but we are told of their condition. Their condition was blind, halt, and withered. These porches, we're told there are five, and when you look at the number in the scripture, the numbers all mean something, and you can take this, you know, and say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, that's fine. But the number five in the scripture stands for grace. And so here we have these five porches. And in under those five porches, and probably beyond that, we have this great multitude of folks that are blind, halt, and withered. And Jesus is God. He is full of grace and mercy and truth. And we find now that as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, he comes and he is standing by these five porches. He sees these sick and these helpless. These porches are very necessary for the changes of weather that are there, especially the heat. It would get so hot with that sun bearing down, and so for them to have to lay out in the sun would have been death for them, but they had these porches for them, and so they found themselves there, and a great multitude of impotent folks, the scripture tells us in verse 3, are there. This blindness, the halt, the withered, all could walk by and see that. Oh, what a terrible, terrible life they have to live. The only thing they can do is beg for food, beg for help. We should be able to see physical needs, but we also, as believers, should see the spiritual needs of people. You can be very well dressed. You can live in the finest house. You can drive the finest car. You can have the finest job. You can have the finest family, as far as the world's concerned. But if you know Jesus, you are blind, halt, and withered. You've got to know Jesus. You've got to know him. It's the only way. And we don't look at it that way. We class people. We look at them and we see, oh, they're very well-to-do. Oh, they're very successful. Oh, they must be godly people. Look how they live. Well, my friend, that's got nothing to do with it. The only thing that makes you a godly person is, first of all, to trust in Jesus as your Savior. He died on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood for you. You need to come by faith to Him and be saved. And then the teaching and the learning and the growing begins. And then can you and will you become a very, hopefully, if you'll surrender to the Lord, a very godly person, a servant of the Lord. And nothing to do with what church you attend or where you go. But you see, here we have the physical. And when we look at the physical, why, it helps us to understand, I think, of what some of the spiritual might be. But first we have physical here. But I want you to see that these people that went by, they couldn't even help or didn't feel a need to help these that had physical needs, let alone something that was spiritual. The only thing they looked to was the physical side of it. That's what they saw. Now, what were these people doing there next to this pool? Well, verse 3 tells us they were waiting for the moving of the water. And verse 4 helps a little more of the explanation. It says, for an angel came, went down at a season, at a certain season, into the pool, and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole for whatsoever of whatsoever disease that he had. Now, can this be? I mean, what is this? Now, we need to understand that there were 400 years, and we have many explanations or many examples of things that have taken place when it comes to the angels and their service unto God. Was this a hoax? Was this something that the devil used as a trick to bring people and pull people away from the true God, Jehovah? I don't believe so at all. There is nothing here that tells us that this is not God's doing. God sent an angel. Angel went down, so it infers that it comes down from heaven, and it comes down a certain season into the pool. Was it just at the feast days? Was it just that short of a period? Or was it a certain time every day? We're not told. But we are told that this angel went down at a certain season into the pool. Did they physically see the angel, or did it just become the story that they all of a sudden they seen the waving of the water, just like someone was taking their hand and moving it, and so it became an angel that was doing that? We don't know. But we know that it was of God because of a couple of things that are told here. In the middle of verse 4, it says, whosoever. So I want you to see that. Whosoever. Now, that's exactly the way it comes as far as salvation. You want to get saved? You want to trust in Jesus? God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No one is exempt. Here, no one's exempt. It didn't matter who they were, how wealthy they may have been, how poor they may have been, how sick they might be. It doesn't matter what their name was, what nationality, what color their skin was. It doesn't matter. And you see, it doesn't matter when it comes to God's salvation. It doesn't matter. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. This isn't something fake as the fake healers of today and of past. It's not like that. This was real. The first one that could get in there. Now, what was God's purpose in not healing all of them? What was God's purpose in just allowing the first one that got to the water was healed? And then it was over? We don't understand these things. But I know that the healing physically is not near as important as spiritual healing. I know that as we work with our bodies to exercise and we work so hard to keep fit and eat the right food and do the right things, that's not near as important as our time with our God to study His Word. And yet we don't look at it that way. The gyms are full, exercise equipment sold continually, all kinds of diet programs, everything is out there, and yet they're losing the battle, but also losing the battle is the church. We're not out reaching the lost. You can be physically blind, halt, and withered, and you can be spiritually blind, halt, and withered. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, that's exactly what you are. It doesn't matter where you go to church or who you are or anything. You need Jesus. God looks at this in a manner that shows His power, shows His strength. You know, we have some examples in the Scripture. One of them is with Peter when he was released from prison, that the angel came down and got him, and the angel opened the gate as they continued and proceeded through. And so we see those things. You can look in Acts, the 12th chapter, and see that wonderful story. We know that an angel came down and ministered to Jesus after He was tempted. We have many examples of many times it speaks clearly that angels would come to do this. And so we have no reason to believe that this isn't sin of God. We had 400 years of quietness from Malachi to Matthew. And I believe during that 400 years there were many things that is not common to today, but was allowed. God blessed it. God did it. In some special ways, and we have this one with the pool, was one of them. One of God's angels come down, stirred the water. Whosoever was made whole. And that's exactly what happens to you if you just come by faith to Jesus today. And he says, well, I'm so sick, or I'm blind, and that's secondary. And you say, well, sure, you can say that. That's secondary. Well, it is, because much more important than your physical condition is your spiritual condition. Let's get saved first, and then we'll begin to pray for you, that the God that just saved you will also relieve you of this pain, will heal you. Will He? Maybe, maybe not. But to be spiritually made whole, spiritually clean, spiritually saved, that's what's important. We find that there was a man. We have these folks all traveling by. Kind of get that in your mind. There's, you know, whether it's a pathway next to it or goes right through it. Sheep gate, sheep market, onto the temple with your lamb, your sacrifice. Here lays all these great multitude of folks, blind, halt, and withered. They're waiting for something. They're waiting for the movement of the water because they'd seen it before. They knew it was real. They knew whosoever stepped into there was made whole, and all that they could just be the next to do it. But it seemed that the travelers would just come by, and those that were there every day, you would have thought that they would have stood by one of these and says, here, I will help you. I'll help you to be the first to get into the water so you can be healed. But man just didn't pay attention. They didn't care about their physical needs for somebody else. There was no love or mercy there. And there's no love or mercy for the lost that are dying in their sins either, doesn't seem like today. So they would come and go, and here was these impotent folks laying there, and here stands Jesus in the midst of all this, and He sees a certain man that had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw where he was lying there, and Jesus knows everything, and so He knew he'd been there for a long time. And He asked him a question, "Will thou be made whole?" Well, he wasn't expecting Jesus to do something, so he just said, This man answered, says, "Sir," he had respect, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another step down before me." What a horrible day. Day after day. Did it happen every day? Did it happen once a week? Did it happen four or five times a year? We don't know. It just says a certain season. But they waited and they watched because they knew the power when that angel stirred that water, that God put some kind of miraculous healing in that pool. All you had to do was touch it and you were made whole by the power of God. Oh, what a day. I've got to get there first. 38 years he'd been that way. How many years had he been at the pool? I don't know. Had he been there all 38 years? Had someone brought him to the pool there in the past few years? Did they know the time of when it was going to happen so they would gather there under these five porches? I have a lot of questions when it comes to those things, but it's questions that don't matter. They have no bearing because you see, whosoever got there first. But this man couldn't find anybody to do it. And he just waited. And he would try and he would struggle to get there. Well, many people do the same thing today with their life when they're going to church and working so hard in the religion that they are a part of, and yet they still are dead in their trespasses and sins. They're lost. They need Jesus as their Savior. And here, Jesus gives him some words, and he says, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And the eyes of this man and the eyes of Jesus must have met. And he immediately was made whole. And he rolled that old bedroll up, put it under his arm, and he began to walk down the street. He began to walk down the street, made whole. See, Jesus makes us whole. So did this water. So did this whatever was the combination. Was there a special something that the angel put in the water? Was it a special power that was there that when they saw the water move, all they had to do was touch it, God healed them? We just know that it was there. And we know this man had tried and struggled for so long. 38 years. 38 years he had had this infirmity. No hope. Only means to eat was to beg. Did he have family? Where was his family? Why weren't they there to help him get into the pool? Where were all these people that come? Surely somebody from another place comes by would cast their eyes on one of these that was blind and halt and withered and stand next to them and say, "I will take my lamb later. I'm going to stand here and I'm going to help this poor person get into that water so he can be made whole." And we need to do the same thing when it comes to us talking to people about Jesus. I have the greatest message, and that is that Jesus died for you. And all you have to do is come by faith to him and trust in him. Will you do that today? Will you trust in him today, please? Will you? Are you going to refuse? I hope not. I hope not. I hope that you're not one of these religious bunch that did just like these folks. They bought the lamb, come through the sheep gate, come to the sheep market, bought the lamb, took it up and kind of glanced off and, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not like them. Boy, I'm glad I'm not like them." My dear friend, if you haven't trust in Jesus, you're just like them. Maybe physically you're sound, but spiritually you're not. You need Jesus. You need Jesus to come into your heart. You need Jesus to save you. Water was real. Whatever it was done to it, whether it was just a matter of touching it, God blessed it, I don't know. But that was a physical healing. We're talking about spiritually healing. My dear friend, if you don't know Jesus, you're spiritually dead. So my question is directed to you. What are you going to do about Jesus?